With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
It is amazing how much has changed in just a week, ladies and gentlemen. It is phenomenal. The last time we were on the Blog Talk Radio Airways, we were talking about, you know, Dylan Brooks and Ivan Rabb and who might be coming back for the Memphis Grizzlies. And is Zach Randolph coming back? Tony Allen? Now we live in a world where it's possible that none of the Grizzlies' free agents return. Jamichael Green still very much up in the air. There's been rumors surrounding him. Zach Randolph has agreed to a contract with the Sacramento Kings, so he is gone. Tony Allen has removed any mention of the Memphis Grizzlies from his Twitter bio, and now there is a rumor involving Mark Gasol potentially to the Boston Celtics. What a disaster that would be. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, until you actually think about it for a moment and you've stop and you say, what is the direction of the Memphis Grizzlies? And that is where we are going to try to dissect here in these next couple of days, next hour or so as well, over on the blog grizzlybearblues.com, as well as this podcast, Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Wherever you are, however you're listening to the show, thank you for joining us. I am solo this week, recording in the afternoon, obviously a special recording. Brandon Connor sends his best. He'll be back with us next week as we return to the evening recordings. But this afternoon, we had to get it in, and we're excited that you're with us. Again, if you're listening live, maybe a lunchtime, a little break for you, or if you're just catching it as you normally do on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, whatever it is, thanks for joining us. Ways to get in touch with the show, at GBB Live is the Twitter handle. You can interact with us there. You can interact with me on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax. I mentioned my co-host who's not with us this week, Brandon Connor. He's at Ball from Grace, and you can also follow GrizzlyBearBlues.com on Twitter, the SB Nation blog for your Memphis Grizzlies at SBN Grizzlies. I'm going to get right into it because I've got some great guests and I know I have a finite amount of time with both of them. So I really want to get started here because there's a lot to dissect, especially with this first guy. I got to tell you, he's a great, great, great Memphian, first and foremost, very popular Memphian. He is the host of the extremely popular Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN in Memphis. He's a college basketball columnist and TV analyst for CBS Sports. Obviously, with his program, he also follows the Memphis Grizzlies very closely. And we have a lot to talk about with the one and only Mr. Gary Parrish. Gary, thank you so much to take time out of your busy schedule to be with us this week on the show.
Are you kidding? It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know what? I appreciate that. That is nice of you to say. And like I said, we picked a great week for you to make your GBB Live debut because the Memphis Grizzlies went from nothing happening to a lot happening very quickly. Before we talk about the future and what is coming, I do want to kind of take a nod to the past and where we've been. I tweeted this out from the main account on, I believe it was Tuesday, 4th of July. It's all kind of running together the past couple of days. But I tweeted this out when the news broke that Zach Randolph was leaving for Sacramento. There is an entire generation of Grizzlies fans, and I am included among them, Gary. When I first moved to Memphis in 2011, it was right in the middle of that Super Zebo playoff run where they upset the Spurs. I am of the generation that has never known the Memphis Grizzlies without Zach Randolph on the roster. This is going to be a major change, and there's a lot of people that were frustrated, at least from what I saw on my Twitter account, and maybe not frustrated, but they were a bit disappointed, maybe is the right word, that Zach left for the bigger payday, more than likely with Sacramento, perhaps a larger role. But for me, I think that when it comes to Zach Randolph as a Memphis Grizzly, you can have it both ways. You can say he did everything he could in his time here. He already took a contract cut once. The last time he renegotiated and came back to Memphis, he already took a reduced role this past season, no longer being a starter. I think he was the consummate professional while he was in Memphis. And of course, paying light bills and electric bills and paying grocery bills and doing all the things he did for the community off the court. To me, this in no way, shape, or form diminishes what Zach Randolph did as a Memphis Grizzly. Do you agree with that?
100%. I mean, you know, ultimately, I think Zach did what was best for Zach, which is, by the way, what I always suggest any player should do, whether they play for the Memphis Grizzlies or the Boston Celtics or the Golden State Warriors or whomever. Like, I'm always pro player. I'm not the type of person who would ever burn a LeBron James jersey or a Gordon Hayward jersey, you know, after they decide to leave. Like, I can understand there's great ways to handle it and not so great ways to handle it. But ultimately, you know, everybody, should do what's best for them. And I think it's important to note that what's best for one person isn't necessarily best for the other. In other words, with Zach right now, probably the best thing is to take the most money available. You know, I assume that was the most money available, 2 years, $24 million. Whereas with Kevin Durant, as we found out over the past few days, the best thing for him isn't to take the most money available. It's to, agree to a contract that, you know, allows them to continue to be a championship level team, perhaps one of the great dynasties in the history of the sport, without hitting an owner with an incredible tax bill. It'll still be a tax bill, but Kevin Durant agreeing to significantly less money than he could have gotten means that it won't be nearly the tax bill it would have otherwise been. And so, yeah, I have three sons, and my oldest isn't really into basketball at all, but my three-year-old, like, he gets into it. Like, he watches the Grizzlies with me. He watches the Mets with me. And, like, literally the first athlete he was ever aware of, you know, that it was Zach Randolph, was Z-Bo. And I think it's for two reasons. A, he recognizes the headband. Like, that was something that made Zach Randolph different than most of the other players on a court. In fact, it was funny because when we would watch college basketball or literally any other basketball game, if there was a kid, if there was a player with a headband, Oliver, my three-year-old, would ask, is that Z-Bo? He thinks everybody with a headband is Z-Bo. Like, if you're walking down the street in a headband, he thinks that might be Z-Bo. And so the other thing was, Z-Bo's just an easy thing to say, right? Like, when he's 1.5, 2, how whatever age it is, he started, you know, recognizing basketball players, he could say Z-Bo. And so it was cute. He runs upstairs yesterday because we had people over for the holiday, and you know, we were in the backyard, and I had wandered upstairs for a moment, and he comes running up the stairs. I guess he had overheard it, somebody, you know, outside say, you know, Z-Bo is leaving. And so he runs upstairs all dramatic, like, Daddy, Daddy, Z-Bo's leaving. And he wasn't upset. He was just like, that mattered to him. Like, that was something that he felt like he needed to tell me. It was something that he wanted to talk about in whatever way the three-year-old can talk about it. And so, and then I'm hanging out with my friends yesterday who aren't necessarily, you know, up to speed on the salary cap stuff. And so they were mostly just like, this sucks. But, and so I get the sense that the casual fan just wants Zach Randolph on the team no matter what. But in reality, you know, 2 years, $24 million is not something the Grizzlies were ever going to do. I don't think it's anything anybody who follows the Grizzlies closely ever suggested the Grizzlies should do. And for whatever reason, Sacramento decided to make this offer. And so I really do think this is a situation where, you know, from Zach's perspective, it makes sense. You've already taken less to stay in Memphis once. You're probably not anxious to do that again. And it's probably wise for the Grizzlies to say, thank you for your years and good luck in Sacramento. I don't think there's anybody to blame here. I don't think anybody's wrong here. I think Zach did what's best for Zach, and the Grizzlies probably did what's best for the organization.
And I agree with that 100%. And like you said, and I believe it was Peter Edmiston who tweeted out about, casual fan, as you mentioned and alluded to, being frustrated. And that makes sense. There's varying levels of fandom in 2017. You know, there's fans, the casual fan, as you mentioned. There's the more in-tune fan. that there's folks like me who make it a hobby of theirs and have the opportunity to talk with much smarter people like you about these things. It really is, if you watch the team, you follow the team, like you said, nobody loses here. Obviously, the fans lose because they're going to miss Zeebo, and they most certainly should miss Zeebo because he did amazing things for the city of Memphis, and he was a darn good basketball player for the team as well. But at that cost, at that price tag, there is no loser. Zach Randolph gets paid, and you know what? He should get paid. He should pursue that, and if somebody's willing to pay him, that is what he is worth. You can't say on one hand, and I was one of the biggest Chandler Parsons supporters at the signing. I'm still hopeful it works out. The market dictated that's what Chandler Parsons was worth. You can't get mad at Zach for taking $12 million and saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe – well, that's what Chandler Parsons got. You know, Chandler Parsons got paid a lot of money too. So the market value is what the market value is. You are worth what somebody is willing to give you. And the Kings were willing to give him $24 million guaranteed. Memphis was very much wise to pass on that. And from Zach obviously leaving, which is very disappointing but understandable, as we just talked about, to Tony Allen now with his Twitter bio, nothing mentioned of the Memphis Grizzlies. Jamichael Green, I know in the commercial appeal with Ron Tillery, there were rumors about, you know, the agent saying there's been no offer made. Obviously, there was a qualifying offer. You know, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, which is still kind of weird to say, came out and said, you know, actually there was an offer. You know, there's been a lot of conflicting reports on that end. Of course, a lot of people were pretty sure Vince Carter was leaving anyway. So now, in a world where we thought, well, maybe they'll bring back two of them, or maybe they'll bring back one of these free agents. Gary, how likely is it now that none of these guys are back?
I don't think that's a likely scenario. I think Jamichael Green's going to be playing for the Memphis Grizzlies next season for a couple of different reasons. The franchise values him in a way that I frankly think they do not value Tony Allen right now. Like, I think they want Jamichael Green back. I don't know that they want Tony Allen back. And so there's a desire there from the front office to keep him. And all indications suggest the market that some people thought was going to exist for Jamichael. So, like, you know, when we were talking about this last week, it was all like, well, what if somebody comes in and offers 14 a year, 16 a year? What do you do? My colleague Matt Moore at CBS Sports said he's basically on board with just match whatever. Like he said he'd match up to $18 million, like whatever you have to, like keep Jamichael Green. Well, it's pretty clear at this point, at least I think it is, that it's not going to be a crazy number. Like, you know, the cap space is filling up all over the league. And at this moment, nobody has, you know, made an offer that Jamichael Green has agreed to. And so, like, if you're the Grizzlies, I think you're playing it correctly here. You know, I know his agent was frustrated and those comments were a bit bizarre, but like the Grizzlies are doing what they should do. Like, let the market settle, see what Jamichael can really get. And then when somebody offers him, $10 million a year or $12 million a year. And like, who knows, it might not even be that. Then you just match it and you bring him back. And so, I don't think Vince Carter's coming back. At this point, I'll be shocked that Tony Allen's back. But Jamichael Green, I do believe, will be a member of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Agreed. I'm with you on that. And that is something that is fascinating to me because, like you said, Jamichael Green is not of those four players, the guy especially with Zach and Tony, the guy that you connect to this era. But it was going to have to end at some point.
No,
I think
it's interesting. He's probably the most important to the immediate future. But the least popular of the four by a significant margin.
If Jamichael Green leaves, the Memphis Grizzlies could very realistically miss the playoffs. If Jamichael Green comes back, I think it's still possible they miss, but I think it's still more of a probability that they will get in as a 6, 7, or 8 seed. I think he's that important. Zach obviously was fourth in the sixth man of the year voting, and Tony was second team all defense. But we've seen those guys play for 6 or 7 years now. We understand their limitations, and those limitations are only going to become more pronounced as they age. Jamichael is the guy who matters if you want the Grizzlies to still remain relevant in the Western Conference, which just got a hell of a lot tougher, while at the same time trying to rebuild. And you see that in the efforts with the signing of Ben McLemore. And we're talking with Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, as well as the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already. You probably already do, at Gary Parrish CBS. Ben McLemore, another move that I'll be honest with you, Gary, I was a little bit hesitant on, and it had nothing to do necessarily with Ben McLemore. History has shown that if Memphis is going to bring in free agents that aren't restricted or aren't already connected to the franchise through trade, they're probably going to have to overpay a little bit. but the overpay for McLemore in particular, which limits what you're able to do with the other parts of the mid-level exception, that's where I had an issue, made me a little nervous, thinking that they maybe see him a lot more highly than lots of other people do. I believe it was Zach Lowe on his latest podcast who said he's just not a very good basketball player, you know. And the last time he said that, and I think it was Matt Hardlicka or our own Chase Lucas who tweeted it out, the last time he said that about somebody, it was Jeff Green. So they're not very good, at least when it was regarding a Grizzlies player. So not necessarily the highest of, you know, beliefs in him, at least at this stage, but it definitely has the feeling of you're paying for what you think Ben McLemore can be. He's 23 or 24 years old, still very much a developmental player. And one of the reasons you hired David Fizdale in the first place was his ability to develop young talent. This feels like when you listen to GMs and other executives talk, they often say, I'm not paying you for what you did. I'm paying you for what you're going to do. I'm guessing Memphis thinks Ben is going to be able to be a pretty solid starter in Memphis.
Well, they certainly at the very least expect him to be a rotation player who has,
right,
you know, in theory, tremendous upside, right? I mean, that is what you're betting on here. You're saying, okay, they couldn't get anything out of him in Sacramento, but, you know, he had a, I don't even know how many different head coaches. Like, do you? Like, four maybe?
I think it was four.
Head coaches? Yeah.
Like, in like four or five years, yeah.
Right, yeah. So he's played in different systems in a dysfunctional with a dysfunctional franchise that, you know, that was dragged down by, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, or dominated by DeMarcus Cousins for a while. There's a lot of stuff been going on. And so I imagine if you're Chris Wallace or John Hollinger, as Stefanski, as it relates to this specifically, you're saying, okay, this is still a guy who was a top 10 pick once upon a time. This is still a guy who very much looks the part. He's young. He's got good size for his position. He's a good athlete. So he makes us younger. He makes us more athletic. He is he can shoot from the perimeter. I don't know that he's a great shooter, but he's a somewhat reliable shooter. But the problem becomes, okay, then why has he never been a productive and meaningful basketball player? That's why he's available to you under these circumstances. And so you're hoping that you can be the franchise with this coaching staff that turns him into what he was supposed to be when he left Kansas. But am I confident he will be? No, I can get hopeful if you want me to, and I can buy into the logic behind it. I do wonder if you overpaid for him. Did you have to get that done then and for that number? But maybe for the reasons you stated, the answer is yes. And so, the percentage of people who are irrelevant in the NBA through 4 years and then get relevant in the NBA is pretty low. But perhaps Ben McLemore can be the exception to that. I'm willing to let it play out, sure.
And if we're going back to this era that that most likely just concluded with Grit and Grind moving along with Zebo and probably Tony Allen departing, this is a place that's kind of made its name on reclamation projects and chances, second and third chances. So maybe Ben McLemore can be, I don't want to say Grit and Grind because that's not what it will be, but a 2.0 version, whatever comes next. Maybe he can be the next reclamation point. Before we move on to the crazy rumors of the day, Gary, I do want to mention our GBB Live question of the day. Thanks to everybody who voted in our poll. About 200 votes, much appreciated participation. I asked the question, with Zebo gone and now likely Tony Allen gone as well, all these changes, Ben McLemore coming in, has your view of the Grizzlies changed at all? The options were yes, fandom is shaken or gone, maybe worried but here, and then no, he had to go at that money. So people that just say, yeah, I'm still a fan, I still think we're going to be fine. That was the leading vote getter. About 59% of folks said that he had to go get the money, it's fine. But that means 41%, a pretty large minority, said they're either worried about the direction of the team without Zach, or, you know, 12%, which is essentially 24 or 25 people, said that they're either questioning their fandom of the team or it's completely gone. I mentioned in my Marc Gasol trade rumor post that I did before we came on the air here, and we'll talk more about that here in a moment, that the Grizzlies are now walking a fine line. This is still a pretty young franchise and fan base in terms of NBA history, 15, 16 years or so in Memphis. If you completely blow this thing to hell and it's not viewed as, you know, good value coming back, whether it's a Marc Gasol or whether a future contract or asset down the road, I think you risk losing some fans. Now, people will always say, and you've been around long enough, Kerry, you know this, oh my God, that guy's gone. I'm not going anymore. I'm not going. Sure. And then they re-up their season tickets anyway. And I think that's part of it. It's still kind of new. But how do you view the Grizzlies post-Zebo? Do you think that, and this kind of ties into our next conversation with Mark, do you see the departure of Zach and likely Tony as a move towards a rebuild, or do you see it as what they've been doing? And we've been talking about this for 2 years now. Is it a chance or an opportunity to get younger while still holding on to the primes of Mark and Mike and staying competitive? Do you think that, you know, anything towards a rebuild is happening here, or do you think this is kind of just staying the course and this is the next step in that process?
Well, first things first, the fans who say I'm never coming back, or, you know, Zebo's gone, Tony's gone, I'm not a fan anymore, that's just silly. And I don't mean it's silly in the sense that, you know, that it's they're being stupid. I mean that they're not being honest, you know, like, and people are just emotional because there was a very real connection with Zach and also with Tony. But like, I can remember people saying once Lionel Hollins was not returning, I'll never go back into that arena. Yes, you will. When the team's good, you'll be there. That's basically, 90% of NBA markets. You know, when the team is relevant and good, fans are there. When they're not, they're not. And I don't think this market is you know, falls outside of that category. And so people will miss Zach and presumably miss Tony. But if the Grizzlies have a good basketball team on the floor next season or any season going forward, FedEx Forum will still feel exactly like FedEx Forum has felt in its best moments. As for the direction of the franchise, listen, I had Matt Moore. I was hosting over the weekend, or maybe it was Monday. I don't know. The days run together. I don't even know what today is. This whole holiday thing has screwed me up. But I guess it was Monday, July 3rd. I was hosting a national show for CBS Sports Radio, and I had Matt Moore, my colleague, CBS Sports, on. And I said, you know, as if you look at the West right now, based on sort of what's in place and under the assumption, which ended up being a correct assumption, that Gordon Hayward's going East, you know, do you make the top four in the West, Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City? And he said, I think you've got the top three right. He said, I would actually put the Grizzlies fourth in the West. Now, that
wow.
seems ambitious to me. Yeah, but like, I will tell you, like, I don't agree with that, but I will tell you, like, nobody watches more basketball than Matt Moore, and nobody writes about it as thoroughly as Matt, and, like, he knows this league, and so that was interesting to me that he thinks the Grizzlies can be a top four seed in the West. I think, like you, think 5, 6, 7 is more likely, but I don't get the sense at all that they're trying to rebuild on, you know, I think they're trying to get younger. And they're trying not to get too old, and they're trying to, you know, like, but certainly holding on to the core of Mark and Mike. And I've been told that there is zero truth to the idea that they have intentions of even talking to Boston about a possible Mark Gasol deal. I don't think that there's any scenario, literally any scenario, where that happens before the season. Could it theoretically happen at the trade deadline? Maybe, but only under these circumstances. You know, the season's not going well. Maybe Mike's hurt or other key players hurt. It becomes crystal clear that Chandler Parsons you're never going to be able to be what you thought you could be with him because he's just damaged goods. And you're also not going to be able to do anything about it because his contract limits you in so many ways. Then maybe you at least take the phone call and say, hey, you know, if we're not going anywhere and it becomes clear, like, and by anywhere, I don't mean championship. I mean back to the playoffs. Then maybe at least explore it. But the idea that they would explore it now, A, made no sense to me when I first heard it. B, I've subsequently been told by somebody, let's just say close to the franchise, that it's just not, that's not their thinking right now. They still think they can be good right now. And so and they're not willing to give up on a Mike, Mark, Chandler top three player situation until they know for sure, you know, what it is. And right now they still don't, you know, they still very much believe that there's at least a possibility Chandler could be what they wanted him to be. And if so, you've got a pretty good core three, or core of three players that allows you to compete, probably not with Golden State, but certainly with you know, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, the Clippers, the Blazers, whomever. And so this is not a blow it up situation. If they're letting Zach Randolph walk, it's not because they're trying to rebuild. It's because they just didn't think he was worth that price tag for this franchise. And I think most smart Grizzlies fans agree with them. If they're letting Tony Allen walk, it's not because they're trying to rebuild. It's because they feel like it's the best thing for the immediate future. It's the best thing for next season, you know, rather than lock up a roster spot and some money in an aging shooting guard who has missed, I think, around 25% of the regular season games the past 4 years, and who is a liability on the offensive end of the court in an era when offensive basketball is more important than ever. And so I don't think this is a sign of a rebuild at all. I think they are doing genuinely what they think is going to make them the best basketball team they can be next year.
We're finishing up here with Gary Parrish. Just a little bit of, I don't want to say breaking news, but just a little, I just tweeted it out from our account. Zero truth, and I just want clarification on that. You're saying that you've spoken with someone and there is no truth to what has been floated out. And again, it was more so, and I mentioned this in the post that I did with the rumor, it didn't say they spoke with the Grizzlies or they spoke with Boston. It was two league executives, didn't specify who, that Marc Gasol would be a name to watch. So you're saying the Grizzlies, someone from the Grizzlies has kind of told you there's no truth to that at this time.
Yeah. And I guess it's worth clarifying, like, the context of this rumor, if you will. It comes from Chris Mannix, who's one of my friends and, you know, and tremendous at what he does. He also, like, you know, works television for the Boston Celtics. So he's very closely connected to that franchise. And he didn't report that, you know, Boston and Memphis are discussing a Marc Gasol trade, or Boston is pursuing a Marc Gasol trade. It comes in the context of a larger, it comes within a larger story just about the Celtics in general after the Gordon Hayward acquisition. And he said, you know, a name to keep an eye on is Marc Gasol. And I haven't talked to Chris about this, but I feel comfortable saying that I assume what he probably had a conversation with somebody in Boston front office, not necessarily Danny Ainge, could be a scout, right? Anybody. And they said, and you know, he's going, okay, so what do you guys do next? Is there anything to do next? And somebody said, you know, like, Marc Gasol might fit well here. Like, you know, if we could maybe do something to get him, now we're cooking. Now we're ready to go win the East and take a shot at Golden State in the 2018 NBA Finals. And so is it possible that Chris Mannix has been told by somebody in Boston's front office that, woo, man, it'd be nice if we could add Marc Gasol to this. Now let's go. Sure. I think that's probably a conversation you can have over beers. But does it mean that there's anything happening between Boston and Memphis? No. And in fact, I've been told that it is. There's zero truth to the idea that there's something happening between Boston and Memphis. It doesn't mean that something couldn't start happening, you know, tomorrow. It just means that there's nothing happening right now, and there has been nothing that's happened so far. But my understanding of the thinking of the front office in Memphis is that they're not ready to move on and get bad so that they can theoretically get good again. They've been good for 7 straight years. Their goal is to try to be good for 8 straight.
We'll get you out of here on this, Gary. Not a rebuild right now. I tend to agree with that. What do you think could happen over the course of the next 6 to 8 months, obviously as the season gets underway? What do you think would have to occur for them to change their mind on that? Is it another injury to Chandler Parsons? Is it a slow start like you mentioned before? Or do you think they're committed to seeing what this team looks like without Tony and Zach? Because let's remember, that's never happened before. Like we just mentioned, in this era of Memphis basketball, it's been Zach and Tony. It's been the core four. You're now entering new territory. Do you have the feeling they're committed to seeing this thing through at least for a year?
Well, you have to be flexible at all times. Like, you should never just say, this is what we're doing no matter what, because sometimes circumstances can change your way of thinking on a variety of things and in all walks of life. So you never, like, say, well, we're riding it through Marc Gasol's contract and Mike Conley's contract no matter what. I think that's, you know, I think that the plan is for Marc Gasol to finish his contract here. The plan is for Mike Conley to finish his contract here. The plan is to get Chandler Parsons healthy, productive, and now let's go. but like, yeah, could that change? Sure, it could change. And for a variety of reasons. I honestly don't think just being bad would be one of them, because I don't think they're going to be bad if healthy. The type of thing that, and I don't want to speak for the front office on this, but like if I were running the franchise, the type of thing that might make me consider a Boston a trade for Marc Gasol would be, you know, Mike Conley gets hurt, right? And it's a season-ending injury that we know about in January. And you're already on the outside looking in at the playoffs, and it becomes pretty clear you ain't going to the playoffs without Mike Conley. So, okay, now, and then Boston offers something that is frankly too good to pass up. Like any basketball person would say, all right, we're not going to be good this year, and because Mike's hurt, and we're already out of the playoff picture, and Boston's put a package together that includes whatever. You know, we don't have to put a hypothetical together on that, but like they just put a package together where you go, all right, like we didn't want to do this, but circumstances have pushed us in this direction. Yeah, let's pull the trigger on it. But two things. One, knock on wood, I hope Mike Conley's not suffering a season-ending injury next year. And two, like Boston is notorious for flirting, but then ultimately not willing to give you what it is you think you need to pull the trigger on a deal. And so I think it's all unlikely, extremely unlikely. But the one thing I would stress more than anything else is this is not something that they're exploring before the season starts. They are trying to go to the playoffs for the 8th straight year next year. They are trying to advance in the playoffs. They want to continue to be good. Like you saw Phoenix, you know, since free agency started, when they miss on this or miss on that, specifically Blake Griffin, they decide, okay, this isn't working out the way we had hoped. Now let's just get young, take contracts, and be bad and try to build for the future. That is not that's what they're doing. That's not what's happening in Memphis at all. The Grizzlies still want to be good, and I think they will be.
Hopefully we have a lot of fans listening to this, a very reassuring conversation, and I'll be honest, it's reassuring to me as well. I don't know if I'm ready for a full rebuild myself, and I agree. I'm interested to see what this team can be without Zach and Tony. No offense to them. They were a major part of the history of this franchise moving forward, numbers in the rafters, all those fun things one day, but your core is Mark and Mike with hopefully a healthy Chandler Parsons, and you see where that will take you. Gary Parrish, thank you so much for your time, sir. The first of hopefully several appearances on Grizzly Bear Blues Live.
I appreciate you having me. We'll do it again for sure.
Absolutely. There he goes. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Gary Parrish of CBSSports.com, also of the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Gary Parrish CBS. Appreciate a little bit of news here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We're carrying on. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Before I get to my next guest, very quickly, I want to give a shout-out to our great sponsor, GrizzEssentials.net. Use them for all your Grizzlies gear needs this offseason. If you're not a big shopper like me and you want to get geared up as quickly and efficiently as possible, give them your size, you make a subscription order, and every month a box will be delivered to your door filled with the latest and greatest Memphis Grizzlies gear. GrizzEssentials.net, great sponsor of GBB Live. Make sure you're checking them out today. My next guest, very excited to have him on the program. He's a friend of the show, been on several times, and I'm interested in his take. It'll be good to kind of get away from the craziness of the Grizzlies right now and focus in on the future, because obviously the here and now is a little bit nuts, as we just got done talking with Gary, but the future will be on display starting this weekend in Las Vegas. The Memphis Grizzlies Summer League is upon us. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the G League and two-way contracts and all sorts of fun things with our guest at this time. His name is Chris Reichert. A working man joining us on his break. I appreciate that. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Life's good, Joe. How you been, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm just trying to make sense of going from 0 to 100 with the Memphis Grizzlies the past 2 days. It's been pretty crazy around here, but I got to be honest, and I know we'll get right to it since I have you for a limited amount of time, and I appreciate you taking the time, of course. It's going to be nice to talk about the future here a little bit, because for once, Memphis seems decently primed. I noticed they were like 15th or 16th in the odds for the Las Vegas Summer League. That blew my mind, Chris, because you look at their roster. I have it pulled up in front of me here. You've got Wade Baldwin, Dylan Brooks, Deontay Davis, Darrell Martin, Ivan Rabb, Wayne Selden, Rade Zagorak. You've got guys, about half of the Summer League roster that I'm looking at is going to be on the Grizzlies' main roster come October's opening night. Am I missing something here? I'm pretty optimistic about how the Grizzlies are going to do in Summer League.
Yeah, I think they should fare pretty well. I mean, like you said, they're going to have Baldwin and Davis and Martin and Selden as well, who have all played together, you know, for last season. They all played together in Iowa. You know, this coming season, they'll be, you know, part of the Memphis Hustle in South Haven now. But hopefully they're spending more time, you know, with the Grizzlies rather than the Hustle this upcoming season. But, yeah, I'm with you. And they got some good other players, too. They got a guy named Will Cummings, who's a really good guard out of Temple, who played with the G League and then went overseas. Vince Hunter is a very good player. Victor Rudd is a really explosive athlete and a really kind of underrated player, I think, coming into Summer League. So, yeah, they got a lot of talent. It's always kind of how they mesh well, who they give the minutes to, you know, the chemistry, how it works out there. And there's just a lot of talent overall, I think, in the Vegas Summer League. You know, there's two other Summer Leagues, you know, one in Orlando and one in Utah, but everybody kind of knows the Vegas is the pinnacle, if you will, of Summer League. So people get geared up for that when they leave the other ones early if they're playing in both of them. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
It's going to be fascinating to watch unfold. I am particularly interested in watching the two Grizzlies draft picks from 2017. Obviously, they traded in twice to this draft. Dylan Brooks from Oregon and Ivan Rabb from California. With Zach Randolph departing, likely Tony Allen departing, the roster continues to get younger. What do you see coming potentially for those two players, especially with Chris Wallace, the general manager of the Memphis Grizzlies, coming out and specifically saying neither of those two are going to be on two-way contracts? We'll talk more about the two-way contract here in a moment. But those two players, they don't figure to be with the Memphis Hustle very much, if at all, this season. What does that mean for them? Do you see them being able to contribute this early in the NBA, or do you think it's just maybe a case of maybe a little bit of stance and trying to not give away your hand when it comes to contract negotiations with a second-round pick?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it might be a little bit of both. I think, you know, I think Rabb and Brooks not being on two ways is probably smart for them. They already have, you know, their draft rights or what have you. So I think Chris Wallace saying that and using maybe a two-way on a player who is undrafted might be a better kind of strategy with that two-way contract or the two-way contracts they have available. I really like both these guys. I mean, Rabb last year would have been a lottery pick, so them getting him in the second round this year is great. Some of that is due to, you know, some increased exposure and being able to see him more often and see kind of the strengths and weaknesses, and I think that's a little bit of why he dropped. He's a fluid power forward. He doesn't rebound exceptionally well for how big he is, but he's a decent rim protector. He can space the floor a little bit out to about 14 to 17 feet. You know, he's not going to extend it out to three-point range, but, you know, not every power forward needs to do that to be effective. Dylan Brooks, you know, went later than Rabb, but I'm more excited about Dylan Brooks than I am about Rabb, just because of the way the league is going, and Brooks is one of those versatile wing players who can guard multiple positions. His confidence has never wavered. You know, his confidence is always through the roof. He's willing to take big shots. I don't know how many big shots he'll get this year from Memphis, but, you know, just being willing to take those as an incoming rookie is a big thing as well. So I'm excited to watch both of them play. I'm, like I said, a little bit more excited about Brooks than I am about Rabb, but I think that's more so like a preference thing. I'm not super high on Rabb, but that doesn't mean that he won't turn out well either.
In covering the D League, now G League, you've had an opportunity to watch a lot of these Grizzlies. Obviously, you're a G League maven, self-described in your Twitter bio. You're the co-founder of Two Ways in 10 Days covering the G League. You've done a great job looking at this developmental league in the past. So you've seen a lot more, perhaps, than some of the Grizzlies fans listening to this podcast of players like Darrell Martin in recent times, since he played a lot with the Iowa Energy in the past. Wade Baldwin, Deontay Davis, even a player like a Kobe Simmons, or not Kobe Simmons, even a player, excuse me, like a Wayne Selden. You know, you are familiar with guys from their D League, now G League time. You know, some of these dudes, especially Darrell Martin entering the third year in the NBA, it's put up or shut up time for some of these players, especially Martin, like I said. So of those guys, obviously Wayne Selden figures to be in the Grizzlies mix, just signed a new 2-year deal. Deontay Davis, you'd hope, will be in the mix. Of these tweener NBA roster guys. I'll even throw Rade Zagorak in there from Megalex in Serbia, or from Serbia, excuse me. Of these guys that figure to be in the Grizzlies rotation, who do you think should have the best summer league, or who has the most to prove?
I think the player that has the most to prove is going to be Wade Baldwin for me. I mean, of those five that you mentioned, to be frank, of last year, I think Wade Felton played the best out of those five, which is kind of surprising, you know, as he went undrafted and he was in the G League and had to be called up, you know, to the mix. But Baldwin had a rough season last year. I think, you know, he didn't play nearly up to what people expected. I kind of expected him to come down and just not really dominate Iowa in the G League, but play much better than what he showed last year. And it did start to get better towards the end of the season. But I think he's got the most approved. Deontay Davis is still very raw. I don't think the expectations should be super high for him as far as what he's going to produce for the Grizzlies. But he's got all the skills, you know, that they need. He's just extremely raw, and he needs more kind of fine tuning. Jarrell Martin, like you said, it's kind of put up or shut up for Jarrell Martin. He was inconsistent last year in terms of his efficiency. The tools are all there for him. He can shoot it from outside. He's fluid with the ball in his hands. He does well off the ball and in the offensive side. I think I need to see more from Martin is more effort on the defensive side. Sometimes guys will kind of take breaks on the defensive end, and Jarrell Martin, as far as what I saw last year, was kind of guilty of doing that. But as far as who's got most approved, man, it's got to be Wade Baldwin for me. I mean, I don't think anybody would have expected Andrew Harrison to get more playing time than him coming into the season last year. And Harrison kind of has a stranglehold on that backup point guard role right now. And I think Baldwin, you know, he needs to get in that mix, man. He needs to be up there competing with Harrison. And from what I saw last year, you know, hopefully he's gotten a lot better here over the offseason, or hopefully he'll continue to do that and he shows a little bit more in Vegas.
We're wrapping up here with Chris Reichert at Chris_Reichert. He's the co-founder of Two Ways 10 Days on Twitter and the great site, twoways10days.com. New site. Make sure you're checking it out. Also an associate editor of @_step_back. Follow them on Twitter as well. Chris, we'll get you out of here on this. Kobe Simmons, and again, thank you for your time. I know you're busy. Kobe Simmons signed, from my recollection, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, the first two-way contract for the Memphis Grizzlies. We mentioned how Rab and Brooks, according to GM Chris Wallace, are not going to be on those types of deals, but Kobe Simmons is. If you could explain for folks what that two-way contract means, it's a relatively new development in this revamped G League, and then if there's anybody else, maybe Rade Zagorak, maybe somebody who we're not kind of foreseeing right now. You know, Memphis has 17 roster spots I think they're allowed to fill, obviously, and a couple of them are with two-way contracts. So if you would, for our listeners, just kind of explain how that works and how it can kind of benefit the Grizzlies as they start the Memphis Hustle G League team just 30 minutes south from them in South Haven.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, each NBA team has the opportunity to basically get two additional roster spots up to 17, but those two additional roster spots have to be used on two-way contracts. And what these contracts are is they're kind of, I guess they're kind of like a plus up from like a draft rights player, whereas you say, hey, don't come to camp, play with our D-League team, and you'll just stay down there for a full season, which is what Andrew Harrison did his rookie year to him tremendously. This way, it lets the players have the potential to earn a little bit more money, up to about $275,000, and that's if they spend the maximum amount of days with the Grizzlies. So they only get 45 days with the Grizzlies. It's important to note that's not games. It's not, you know, it's not just the days that the Grizzlies have games. It's not days that they appear in a game. It's 45 days with the NBA club. So they can come up, never play a single minute, but spend 45 days with the club and earn a little bit more money for themselves. And it allows Memphis to put them in the G League for the majority of the season without the worry of another team coming in and signing that player. So Kobe Simmons, even if he spends the entire year down with the Memphis Hustle, cannot be called up by any other club. So he's basically a protected player down when he's with the G League, with the Hustle. You know, you can use it on – the real benefit is, to me, would be to use it on younger players who are either undrafted or maybe spent a year overseas, and you don't want them to go to another club, and you keep them there as kind of an insurance policy for the future. A lot of these contracts are going to be one-year deals. They do have the opportunity to sign a two-year, two-way contract, but honestly, I don't know why any player would do that and strap themselves into that kind of commitment because again, the max they can make is about $275,000. So it's just an ability, especially when they have an expansion team like the Hustle, to really help first the G League team while building up future assets for the Grizzlies is what they hope. You know, these players might not all become Memphis Grizzlies, but the fact that they get a full season with their club, with their same terminology, the same plays, the coaching staff there with and whoever else he decides to hire, he's going to bring in a brand new staff. You know, it's going to be exceptionally beneficial for the Grizzlies to be able to see that player day in and day out. And if they want to sign them to a deal, let's say they get rid of a player, they make a trade and they have a roster spot, they can then offer that player a qualifying offer, and they get their bird rights, and they can be tradable. The two-way contracts are tradable. So there's a lot of things in there that are kind of quirky. And if fans or listeners are more interested, like you said earlier, check us out at twoways10days.com. I have a FAQ there that should cover pretty much all the bases on the two-way contracts.
Make sure you're checking them out. No doubt. We'll get you out of here on this, Chris. Kobe Simmons already filled one of those slots for the G League, for the Memphis Hustle. Who do you see potentially from the Summer League roster? Because it's very possible that they sign somebody else. It might not even be someone on the Summer League team. But who do you see potentially filling that second slot if they have a good showing in the Summer League for the Hustle?
Now, if it was me, if it has to be somebody from the Summer League team, I really like Vince Hunter. Vince Hunter, again, came from a small school. He went to UTEP, Texas El Paso, played a year in the D League, and just dominated the D League, averaged 20 points, 10 boards, and then went over to, I think it was Panathinaikos, overseas, had another really great season last year. He's just a high-energy, super athletic, kind of small ball power forward. He's 6'8", 6'9", kind of in the ilk of Paul Millsap, maybe without the three-point shot at this point in his career. But if they can bring him in, especially if they, you know, what if they lose like a guy like Jamichael Green? I think he could be that type of player in another year or two. And Vince Hunter's probably the guy, if I had to pull one from the Summer League roster, that I would expect them to use that on.
I like Vince Hunter too. That would have been my selection. I believe he played for the Grizzly Summer League team last year, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember him doing well.
Yep.
If he didn't, I must be thinking of somebody else. That's what I thought. So I remember that name, Vince Hunter, and I remember watching him in last year's games. I'm excited to watch the Summer League team. It'll be good to see the Grizzlies back out on the court. It's good to see them investing in the future. Hopefully not too much. Let's pump the brakes on the Marc Gasol trade rumors, hopefully. But I think the future is brighter in Memphis than it has been in some time. Hopefully some of these young players can develop through this Summer League as much as you can in a week or so of practice and games. Chris, thank you so much for your time. I know you're hard-pressed for time these days. I appreciate you making some for us. Have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you down the road.
Thanks a lot for having me, Joe. I appreciate you.
There you go. Once again, there's Chris Reichert. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, @Chris_Reichert. He does a great job with Two Ways in 10 Days. He also is associate editor at The Step Back. Make sure you're following him. He knows a lot about the G League, and with the Grizzlies starting the Memphis Hustle, it'd be a good follow for you to have. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax. I'm flying solo this week. Thanks to Brandon Connor for being flexible, working with our guest. We'll have him back on the podcast next week for sure as we continue to try to dissect what the heck's going on with the Memphis Grizzlies. Hopefully, Jamichael Green, something has reached a conclusion there. The next time we're on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, which will be July 12th, more than likely an 8 p.m. Central Time recording once again. Hopefully we're back with Jamichael, hopefully. Hopefully Marc Gasol still a Memphis Grizzly. I think he will be. I think it's important, and I mentioned this in the post over at grizzlybearblues.com. Everybody relax a little bit. Catch your breath. It's not the end of the days here, not of the end of the world. I don't think they're rebuilding just yet. But I do think that, as Gary said, you listen to offers, and especially if you start the season and things aren't going the way you wanted them to. It's December, it's January, you're in 10th or 11th, you're five games out. You listen. I think that's important to keep in mind. You have to listen. I do think that Chandler Parsons' health remains the main focus. If Chandler can come back and be 90% or better of what he could have been in this offense, then I think you roll with it and you're going to make the playoffs if that's the case. I really do think so. 6, 7, 8 seed, that's realistic to me with a healthy Chandler Parsons. If Parsons isn't healthy and you're dealing with Ben McLemore, James Ennis, and Jamichael Green as your starters, I don't know if that's a playoff team in the West. I don't know anymore. There's a lot of teams vying for those spots, and a lot of teams, Minnesota, Denver, a lot of squads have gotten a lot better in recent days, Oklahoma City too as well. So you have to kind of keep that in mind moving forward. A lot of moving pieces still to be played out, especially for the Grizzlies. And like I said, the summer league will be nice. It'll be kind of good to step away from all the craziness for a little bit and watch the Grizzlies play some basketball. And it should be a competitive summer league team. Glenn Ciprian running it, a great coach, the coach of the Hustle. It's going to be really cool to watch them play, watch them work. I'm looking forward to it. Next time we'll be on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, like I said, will hopefully be July 12th, 8 p.m. Central Time. Thank you to Gary Parrish. Thank you to Chris Reichert. Thank you to GrizzyCentrals.net. Most of all, thank you for listening. Wherever you're checking out Grizzly Bear Blues Live, it is much appreciated. Continue to make us and GrizzlyBearBlues.com a part of your Memphis Grizzlies fan experience. Brandon will be back next week. Until that time, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. Continue to grind. Thank you for everything, Zach, probably Tony. Much appreciated. Grit and grind was tremendous. All good things must come to an end, unfortunately, and we have reached that point. Same thing we've reached with this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. This is Joe Mullinax, site manager at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Grind forth. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.